The scripture reading today will be 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 1 through 4. Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea, and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ.
Morning. Glad to see everyone here with us this morning. If you're visiting with us, you are indeed our honored guest. So glad that you're here. I want to invite you to come back at any opportunity that you might have. If you would, please do us a favor and take one of those visitor's cards you see there on the back of the pew in front of you. Fill that out for us and just leave that laying in the pew so that we can have a record of your attendance. Well, let's leave our Bibles there at 1 Corinthians chapter 10. I'd like for you to read with me, if you will, again, verses 1 through 4, but we're going to continue on down through verse 15. This is going to be our scripture for this morning. We're going to take our study from here. What we're really going to notice here, we're going to notice Paul using some examples from the past and admonition for the present. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, beginning in verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea, and were all baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea, all ate the same spiritual food, and all drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with most of them, God was not well pleased, for their bodies were scattered in the wilderness. Now these things became our examples, to the intent that we should not lust after evil things, as they also lusted. And do not become idolaters, as were some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Nor let us commit sexual immorality, as some of them did, and in one day 23,000 fell. Nor let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted, and were destroyed by serpents. Nor complain, as some of them also complained, and were destroyed by the destroyer. Now, all these things happened to them as examples. And they were written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the ages have come. Therefore let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. But with the temptation will also make the way of escape, that you may be able to bear it. Therefore, my beloved, flee from idolatry. I speak as to wise men. Judge for yourselves what I say. You know, Romans 15 and verse 4 and there in 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 11, we learn that the things that were recorded in the Old Testament is there for a purpose. It's there for you and I to learn from. Romans 15 and verse 4 says, whatsoever things were written aforetime, referring to the Old Testament law, were written for our learning, that we, through patience and comfort of the Scripture, might have hope. And again, 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 11 says, now all these things happened unto them for examples. We have an opportunity to go back and to learn from the mistakes of the Israelites, from what they had done to the Lord, against the Lord, and so forth and so on. And they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Someone has said, if one does not learn from the mistakes of his past, he is doomed to repeat them. Friends, this passage of Scripture, when it is applied to one's life, will assist the child of God in living the successful, vibrant, confident Christian life. So let's break this passage down. Let's look at these examples from the past and how we might apply these things to us today. Some examples for us to follow or avoid. Verses 1 through 4, first of all, we find the advantages enjoyed by God's people there. Number one, they were educated by God. Notice verse 1 again. Moreover, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea. They knew God's word. They were educated by God. This applies to both Israel and to the Corinthians. The Corinthians had God's word. Paul had delivered them God's word. They knew what God's word had to say on such matters. Friends, one can and must know the truth of God's will, as the Corinthians did, as the Israelites did. They knew the truth. But as we know from our passage here, the Israelites chose in some instances not to follow that truth. We read in John chapter 8 and verse 32, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall what? Make you free. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Friends, as Christians, we must know, we can know, we must know the truth of God's will, of His Word. That will at that time had been communicated to Israel. They had the Pentateuch. They had the Ten Commandments. They had those laws that were recorded in addition to those Ten Commandments, surrounding the Ten Commandments. They had all of those things. They knew God's Word. Friends, we have had the will of God communicated to us today. Just keep a finger there in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Turn with me over to Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1. Notice what the Hebrews writer has to say concerning God's will in the Christian age. Hebrews chapter 1. Read with me verses 1 and 2. God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets. Okay, in time past, referring to the old law, notice now verse 2, hath in these last days spoken unto us, Christians, by His Son, Jesus, whom He, God, hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also He made the worlds. How's He spoken unto us today? Jesus Christ came to this earth, bled and died for the remission of our sins, friends, and we have all that recorded right here in the New Testament of God's Word. It's right there for us to read. Luke 10 and verse 16, he records there, He that heareth you heareth me, and he that despiseth you despiseth me, and he that despiseth me despiseth him that sent me. We read in Ephesians chapter 3, verses 3 through 5, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in a few words, whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages, Paul says, was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto His holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. Friends, we have a responsibility to know God's truth. We have a responsibility. The Israelites had that responsibility. And friends, we need to learn from their mistakes. They didn't adhere to God's Word. We must know the truth. So they were educated by God. Number two, they were encouraged by God. We find God's presence there in verse 1. Brethren, I do not want you to be unaware that all our fathers were under the cloud. We see His presence. God went before the children of Israel in a pillar of a cloud. Cloud by day, pillar of fire by night. Friends, doesn't He encourage us today? Don't you think that was an encouragement to the Israelites to know that God was with them wherever they went? To see that cloud there day in and day out? To see that pillar of fire there night after night after night? Don't you think that was encouraging to know that they had God's protection? Absolutely. Friends, He encourages us today, doesn't He? He gave us His Word. Hebrews 13, verses 5 and 6 says, let your conversation, your lifestyle, be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have, for He has said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Is that not encouraging? Jesus, God in the flesh, said, I will never leave thee or forsake thee. Matthew 28 and verse 20. He says there, and lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the age. Friends, He's with us. We know that He's with us. We can take things to Him in prayer. We can read His Word, and friends, we are encouraged by God. But notice also, verses 2 through 4, that they were sustained by God. They ate the spiritual meat. They drank the spiritual drink. Here we find the physical symbolizing the spiritual. The water that came from the rock, the physical symbolized what? The living water of Jesus Christ. The manna, again, symbolizing Jesus Christ. Christ was the one who sustained them and is the one who sustains us. It is through Him that we are sustained. God sustains us through Christ. Jesus answered, John 6, 29 through 35. Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God, that ye believe on Him whom He has sent. They said therefore unto him, What sign showest thou then, that we may see and believe thee? What dost thou work? Our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as it is written. He gave them bread from heaven to eat. Then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. Friends, are you sustained by God? Are you sustained by Jesus Christ? Think about that for just a moment. In other words, have you ever obeyed his gospel? Because it's only that way that he can sustain his people. Are you sustained by God? Have you drank of that spiritual drink? Have you eaten of that spiritual meat? And friends, if the answer to that is no, hopefully you will respond this morning. Verses 5 through 10 of our text, we find that the apostasy there committed by God's people, by the Israelites. Notice, first of all, verses 5 and 6, their hearts were not dedicated to God. But with most of them, God was not well pleased, for their bodies were scattered in the wilderness. Now these things became our examples to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. Friends, we find the heart of God's people far from him here. They were not close to God. They had not dedicated their hearts to God. And friends, this is an overall description of God's people. Notice that he was not well pleased. They were overthrown. Their bodies were scattered in the wilderness. They also lusted. Friends, our hearts, our whole hearts, must be dedicated to the Lord. The Israelites failed in that matter to a great degree. Psalm 119 and verse 2 says, Blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with the whole heart. Psalm 119 and verse 10 says, With my whole heart have I sought thee. O let me not wander from thy commandments. Verse 34, Give me understanding and I shall keep thy law. Yea, I shall observe it with my whole heart. Friends, do you follow after God's word with your whole heart? Have you dedicated your entire heart to the Lord? It needs to be his. But not only were their hearts not dedicated to God, their worship was not dedicated to God either. Notice with me verse 7. And do not become idolaters. As were some of them, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Friends, they blasphemed God by worshiping a graven image. This scripture comes, this quote in verse 7 comes from Exodus chapter 32, verses 4 through 7. We read there in Exodus 32, And he received them at their hand and fashioned it with a graving tool, for after he had made it a molten calf, and they said, These be thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And when Aaron saw it, he built an altar before it. And Aaron made proclamation and said, Tomorrow is a feast to the Lord. And they rose up early on the morrow and offered burnt offerings and brought peace offerings. And the people sat down to eat and to drink and rose up to play. And the Lord said unto Moses, Go, get thee down, for thy people which thou broughtest out of the land of Egypt have corrupted themselves. Now I want you to notice something with me. They sat down to eat, to drink, and rose up to play. Friends, this is reference, direct reference to blatant idolatry. And think to whom he's writing. He's writing to the Corinthians. And if you've been in our Bible class over the past few months, we've been studying out of the books of 1st and 2nd Corinthians. And if we've learned anything about the city, what we know about the city is that its people were idolatrous. They were constantly worshiping idols. And so he's cautioning them here. Don't get caught up in idolatry. Here were the people of Israel. They had just come up out of Egypt, and already they're falling back into their ways of Egypt, worshiping a golden calf. They sat down to eat and drink and then rose up to play. That word there that is translated rose up to play carries with it the idea of engaging in dances put to music in honor of an idol. Now, most of these dances performed before idols were most indecent. They might would be done with little to no clothing. Lasciviousness was rampant in these dances. That's the idea that this word carries. And Paul mentions this to the Corinthians, that they were not to be caught up in such as these people were. Now, how does that apply to us? Friends, anything that we put before the Lord and the doing of His will, plain and simple, is idolatry. Let's not get caught up in idolatry. Colossians 3 and verse 5 says on this matter, "Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry." Friends, the Lord is to have the number one spot in our hearts. Anything that takes place before the Lord, friends, is idolatry. That's my spouse, that's my children, that's my job, that's my car, that's my money, that's my house. Anything that takes place before the Lord is idolatry. The Lord is to take first place. So their worship was not dedicated to God. Neither were their lives dedicated to God. Notice verse 8. "Nor let us commit sexual immorality or fornication, as some of them did, and in one day 23,000 fell." Friends, fornication is a grievous sin that affects the whole person. Keep a finger there in chapter 10. Turn with me back to chapter 6. And notice verses 15 through 20, 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Paul mentions the sin of fornication here. Writing to them, he says, "Or do you not know that he who is joined to a harlot is one body with her? For the two, he says, shall become one flesh. But he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. Flee sexual immorality," or flee fornication. "Every sin that a man does is outside the body. But he who commits sexual immorality, he who commits fornication, sins against his own body. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? For you were bought at a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God." Notice the last part of that verse. Friends, my body is not mine. Who does it belong to? It belongs to God. And so the actions that I perform in this body, who are they to glorify? Me? No. God. God is to be glorified in His body. Friends, this also, if we're keeping this in its context, this fornication, this sexual sin, this went hand in hand with idolatry. It's in my thinking that it's most likely in reference to the temple of Aphrodite there in Corinth. It seems that some were taking themselves and joining themselves to the harlots that were employed there at that temple. And so Paul calls their attention to that. "Do you not know," he says, 1 Corinthians chapter 6. He doesn't want them to be ignorant concerning such matters. Friends, one cannot separate the effect of the sinful act from the person doing it. We read in Hebrews chapter 3. If you will, be turning with me there for just a moment. Hebrews chapter 3. We're going to begin reading in verse 7. Hebrews 3, beginning of verse 7, we read there, "Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today if you will hear His voice, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years. Wherefore I was grieved with that generation, and said, they do alway err in the heart. And they have not known my ways, so I swear in my wrath that they shall not enter into my rest. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God, but exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end, while it is said today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation. For some, when they had heard, did provoke, howbeit not all that came out of Egypt by Moses, but with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness, and to whom swear he that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that believed not? So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. Friends, you can't take the act and separate it from the person. There are consequences of sin. Their bodies, their lives were not dedicated to God. Is your life dedicated to God? It's a question we must all ask of ourselves. Also, verse 10, we see that their tongues, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, were not dedicated to God. They murmured. They complained. You see, the Israelites, in their way of thinking, had been disappointed. They had been brought up out of a land of plenty into a wilderness of want. And that instead of being conducted at once to the promised land, they were left to perish in the desert. And so they were doomed to die in the wilderness without seeing the land of promise because they did not trust in God. So they began to murmur and complain. Friends, Christ demands that we control our tongues. James writes of that matter in James 3, verses 2 through 6. He continues it in verses 13 through 18. He says, therefore, in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths, that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which though they be so great and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so the tongue is a little member, and boasteth great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and is set on fire of hell. Verse 13, who is a wise man, and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and strife in your hearts, glory not, and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work, but the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. Friends, not only must our lives be dedicated to God, not only must our worship be dedicated to God, not only must our bodies, our hearts be dedicated to God, friends, but our tongues as well. How does our speech portray us before our peers? Do they know we're Christians by how we talk? And friends, if the answer to that question is no, why not? Let's dedicate our tongues unto the Lord as well. But notice also, friends, the consequences for those who are not dedicated to God. Verses 8, 9, and 10, we read of those consequences. They were overthrown. Their carcasses were left in the wilderness. They fell in one day, 3 in 20,000. They were destroyed of serpents. They were destroyed of the destroyer. What do we see? What's the common denominator, friends? They were destroyed. They were destroyed. Friends, if we are not dedicated to God Almighty, friends, we can be sure, beyond a shadow of a doubt, we will be destroyed. We cannot stand. We must dedicate ourselves unto the Lord. You see, God punished those who are not faithful. And friends, He will punish those who are not dedicated to Him on the day of judgment. We read in Romans chapter 2, beginning in verse 2, "But we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things. And thinkest thou this, O man, that judges them which do such things, and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? But after thy hardness and impenitent heart treasureth up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath, and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to every man according to his deeds. To them who by patient continuance and well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. But unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath. Tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil, of the Jew first, and also of the Gentile, but glory, honor, and peace to every man that worketh good, to the Jew first, and also to the Gentile." Friends, we can be sure that if we do not dedicate ourselves unto God, we can be sure of a swift destruction. So what are some exhortations for us to continue faithfully following the Lord? Friends, today one can learn from the situations described from verse 11. We read there, "Now all these things happened to them as examples. And they were written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the ages have come." We can learn from those things that are written in the Old Testament. We can learn from the Israelites. We can learn from their mistakes and how to better dedicate ourselves unto the Lord. Today we can be encouraged by what was written. Today we can know that we are in a saved state. We read in 1 John 2, 3 and 4, "And hereby we do know that we know Him, if we keep His commandments. He that saith, I know Him, and keepeth not His commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him." Friends, we can know we're saved. How? By doing the will of God. By obeying His Word. And doing everything there that He tells us to do. Today we can overcome the trials and temptations of life. Notice again verse 13. "No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man." Friends, don't think that you're a special case. If you're having to endure a trial that only 1 in 10 million, only 1 in say 2 billion, you know there are at least 3 other people in the world that have had to suffer the condition that you're suffering through. "There hath no temptation taken you, there hath no trial taken you, but such as is common to man." My case is not special. Other people have been through it. But notice as well, God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. Friends, just when we think there's no way out, we find one. And it's placed there by God. We find it in His Word. We find comfort, we find hope there. Friends, we can know that we can overcome the trials and temptations of life. And today, as well, we can overcome sin. We do not have to practice sin. 1 Peter 5, verses 8 and 9, we read there, "Be sober. Be vigilant." Why, Peter? Why must we be sober? Why must we be on the lookout? He says, "Because your adversary, your enemy, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world." Friends, we don't have to practice it. We can escape. We can flee. When we hear that old lion coming, we can run the other way. We don't have to stand there and be caught. We can flee. And friends, one Today one can truly be wise. Notice verse 15. I speak as to wise men. Friends, we have the ability to be wise in God's Word if we will but pick it up, read it, and study it. Proverbs 3, verses 5 through 8. Proverbs writer says there, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes, fear the Lord, and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Friends, are we wise in our own ways? Or are we wise in God's ways, in the ways of God? Let us strive always to be wise in the ways of God. And friends, today one can know that God is faithful. We know that God is faithful. That He's there for us when we need Him most. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 9, we read, God is faithful by whom you were called into the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. God is faithful. We can know that. And friends, that ought to inspire us to continue to be faithful unto Him. Let's put away our Bibles. Take out our song books. We're ready to sing the invitation song in just a moment. Friends, we learn that God's Word is all sufficient. We need nothing else. All we need is the Bible to make a person spiritually complete. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction and righteousness. It's good for all of these things. And then verse 17 says what? That the man of God may be perfect, complete, thoroughly furnished into every good work. We need nothing else. We don't need a special revelation. We don't need man's traditions. We don't need a creed. We've got everything we need right here in God's Word. It's enough. It's sufficient. And friends, we rejoice that we have these examples for our encouragement and our learning. We just need to learn from them. Read about them and not repeat their mistakes. Friends, are you here this morning having never obeyed the gospel of Christ? Have you never eat of that spiritual meat and drink of that spiritual drink? You see, God's Word tells us that we must hear His Word first of all, that once we've heard it, we must believe it. We must believe that Jesus Christ is exactly who He said that He was. And is. That He was sent to be born of a virgin, to live upon this earth, to bring God's message, and then to suffer, bleed, and die for the remission of our sins. Did you believe the Bible's account concerning those things? And if the answer to that question is yes, my friend, are you willing then to do what the Bible also says concerning repentance? Luke 13 and verse 3, the Christ says there, repent, or you all likewise perish. Are you willing then to go on and read further into the Bible? We read Matthew chapter 10 and verse 32, Romans 10, 9 and 10, that we must confess the Lord before men with our mouth unto salvation. Would you confess the Lord this morning? And if that answer is yes, friends, you know, the Bible also tells us in Mark 16, 15 and 16, Matthew 28 and verse 19, Acts 2 and verse 38, that we must be baptized for the remission of our sins by the authority of Jesus Christ. Would you do that this morning? So that He may add you to His church. Because, friends, there's only one. Just as there's one Bible, just as there's one God, that, friends, there's only one church. You only read of one in His Scriptures. And you'll be added to it this morning if you'll obey His gospel. Friends, are you here this morning having done those things? Have you fallen away? Would you come home? Would you rededicate yourself to God? Would you do so now while we stand and while we sing?